Today is Palm Sunday, and also today is Passion Sunday. Our readings are from Psalm 118, verses 19 through 29, Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 through 12, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, and the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 14, verses 53 through 65. Today's message is titled, Righteous and Having Salvation. Psalm 118, beginning of verse 19. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Here ends our reading from Psalm 118. From the prophet Zechariah, chapter 9, beginning at the 9th verse. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, O prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. Here ends a reading from the prophet Zechariah. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here ends our reading from Philippians chapter 2, the Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 14, beginning at verse 53. They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, elders, and teachers of the law came together. Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. There he sat with the guards and warmed himself at the fire. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they did not find any. Many testified falsely against him, but their statements did not agree. Then someone stood up and gave this false testimony against him. We heard him say, I will destroy this man-made temple, and in 3 days will build another, not made by man. Yet even then their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? I am, said Jesus. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes. Why do we need any more witnesses? He asked. You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? They all condemned him as worthy of death. And some began to spit at him. They blindfolded him, struck him with their fists, and said, Prophesy. And the guards took him and beat him. Here ends our reading of the portion of the Passion according to the Gospel of Mark. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, which is a wonderful and sacred mystery. In your eternal foreknowledge, you peacefully do your saving work for humanity. Let the whole world know that things that were cast down are being raised up, and that things that had grown old are being made new. And all things are being restored by Him in whom they have their beginning, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Again, a prayer from the Gelesium Sacramentary. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, there is the city, sitting high on top of Mount Moriah, over 2,000 feet above sea level and hundreds of feet above the valleys that surround the city of Jerusalem, giving the city the shape it was in Bible times. So saying going up to Jerusalem is true. It's accurate. The city is walled in with walls that were built. These walls at Jesus' time were built, rebuilt, and during Nehemiah's time. You know that amazing fast rebuilding of the walls. It happened in 52 days to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem that had been destroyed by Babylon with fire and pulled down when Israel was taken into captivity in Babylon. 10 gates are mentioned in Nehemiah chapter 3. And these gates' restoration were essential to the securing of the city as the walls were being rebuilt. Sheep, fish, old, valley, dung, fountain, water, horse, east, mikpad. All are gates mentioned in Nehemiah chapter 3 being rebuilt and restored as the wall was being rebuilt. The walls and the rebuilding, they averaged 12 meters high, which means that's nearly 40 feet high these walls were built, and being at least 8 feet thick. And the length around the city was over 4,000 meters, or nearly 2.5 miles. Around the city. And now at Jesus' time, for several weeks, maybe even for months, that is the events after the transfiguration, Jesus had set his face towards Jerusalem. It's written in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Resolutely, that literally means Jesus set his face steadfastly on Jerusalem. there to fulfill his departure that Moses and Elijah and Jesus spoke about in the Mount of Transfiguration. Much has happened since that moment of transfiguration. Many more healings, including the great wonder that happened in Bethany. Jesus calling his dear friend out of the tomb. You know, Bethany, just a short distance from Jerusalem, Jesus calling his dear friend out of the tomb. You know the event. You can recount the details. Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus, the one you love is sick, meaning their brother Lazarus. Jesus, he tarries where he was. Then finally, Jesus goes after Lazarus has died. Do you know the poignant moment at the tomb? Jesus wept. And then, roll the stone away. No, the stench will be overwhelming. Didn't I say you would see the glory of God? Lazarus, come out. Now in that same Bethany, staying with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, who's now come out of the tomb. This is, of course, a little while later. Jesus sets out for Jerusalem. A large crowd had gathered to see Jesus, and they had gathered to see Lazarus too, because Lazarus, risen from the dead, or actually called back from the dead, he was a crowd sensation. So this crowd was swollen, and it was growing. I mean, the pilgrims are coming for the Passover feast in Jerusalem. Passover feast would soon be here. Grabbing palm branches, an impromptu parade forms. A young donkey is found for Jesus to sit upon. And the ruckus and the cacophony of the sounds echoing in the valley are now rising up from the Kidron Valley up to Jerusalem as the parade comes into the Kidron Valley and starts rising up to where Jerusalem is. Remember, Bethany is only 2 miles or so from Jerusalem. A short walk of less than 30 to 40 minutes, depending on how fast you walk. First, you go steeply downhill into the valley, then across the valley, and then steeply uphill to approach the walls and the gate into the city. They were shouting. They were shouting. John 12, verse 13. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Hosanna is transliterated from the Hebrew, Hosanna, Hosanna, meaning save now. Or it could be translated as save, I pray. And of course, when you're praying, save, I pray, you mean save now. I mean, you're praying for the action to happen now. For us during the season of Lent, this call to save, I pray, is very appropriate to be shouted at the top of our lungs all through these 40 days. Save now, I pray. Save now. Blessed be the one coming in the name of the Lord and the King of Israel. Imagery and words flowing from the prophecies of the sacred scripture. Remember how the children of Israel were schooled in the scriptures. So familiarity of these sacred words of the Lord in scripture were very much through all the minds of the people. They are familiar with the word of God, these sacred words of the Lord. And so much all through the people, shouting and waving of the palm branches, saying Hosanna from the sacred Psalms, riding on a donkey. That's from the prophet Zechariah. These were well-known messianic images. Images of the Messiah that was promised to come. The promised anointed one to come to save and deliver. As of old, the deliverances had come. Perhaps they were swept up in the ecstasy of the moment, but that would not take away the reality of the sacred scriptures being fulfilled. Fulfilled more fully than they could ever recognize. Jesus had been to Jerusalem several times before. He had actually been there for Passover several times before too, especially growing up as a child. So this time's different. Now is the time. The time of fulfillment. It's approaching. This time entering Jerusalem and being in Jerusalem is different. I have to be honest with you that buried there in Zechariah chapter 9 is a phrase I never really paid much attention to, really didn't notice in a manner that would really draw my attention for me to that phrase. But I want to bring that phrase to your attention this morning, and you'll see why it's a powerful phrase. I want to bring it to your attention. As mentioned just moments ago, the Lord save. Save, Lord. That's a call from Psalm 118, particularly verse 25. And then see if you can discern the phrase I'm referring to buried in plain sight, really, in Zechariah chapter 9. I'll even give you the better hint. It's in verse 9. And I'm going to read verse 9 for you right now. But see if you can see the phrase that really is important. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Did you hear the phrase? Or did you immediately jump to the imagery of riding on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey? See, your king's coming, riding on a donkey, the colt, the foal of a donkey. That's what most people jump to. Me, I jump to that imagery. Hey, it's being fulfilled. Jesus is riding into the Jerusalem as this king that is written about in Zechariah 9. The manner of Jesus riding is intentional. Jesus, by his very action, is proclaiming himself as the Anointed One, the Messiah. He is fulfilling this prophecy. But did you really notice and pay attention to the phrase right before those words, riding on a donkey? See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation. That phrase, righteous and having salvation, that phrase describes the king who is coming. Who is this king? Righteous and having salvation. What is unique about this king coming to us? Righteous and having salvation. Let those words sink in. This Jesus riding to Jerusalem in fulfillment of the prophecy is entering as righteous and having salvation. People see a man, Jesus, sitting on the back of the donkey riding along as the hosannas fill the air. In reality, righteous is entering Jerusalem. Salvation is entering Jerusalem. Perfect righteousness. He is righteous. Perfect righteousness that humanity so dearly needs, as is written about in 1 Peter chapter 3. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Having salvation, that phrase. Jameson Fawcett Brown Bible Commentary writes this about it. The Hebrew is reflexive in sense, showing himself a savior, or having salvation in himself for us, endowed with a salvation which he bestows as a king. Or in the words of Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, she, that is Mary, will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And again, the Greek of that Matthew 1, verse 21, for himself will save the people of him from the sins of them. Himself is salvation. This means Jesus himself as Savior is salvation. Is salvation, just as the name Jesus means, Lord saves. Righteousness personified. Salvation personified, or better said, Jesus is the embodiment of righteousness, the embodiment of salvation. For Jesus is God, fully God. Through the mystery of the incarnation, God became human, a boy born of a virgin, and now these 33 or so years later, this fully human man, who at the same time is fully God, is the one who is entering humbly on the back of a donkey into Jerusalem this morning, just as the prophecy said would happen. Righteousness. Righteous. Let's expound on that word, righteous, being righteousness now. A few verses, Philippians 3, verse 9. And be found in Him, which is Christ, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Romans chapter 3, starting at verse 22. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace. Through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus, God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? So death came through Adam. But how much more is this abundant provision of grace, this gift of righteousness, reign in the life through that one man, Jesus Christ? And that righteousness is given to us. It's written, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Perhaps you've heard the voices today. There are voices today, this era, this time we live in, that say, stop waving those palms on Palm Sunday, for the waving of palm branches is a celebration of victory. It means one has triumphed. That's what it means. Yes, it is a celebration of a conquering hero. You know, Judas Maccabees? He entered triumphantly into Jerusalem after defeating the Seleucid Empire about 200 years earlier than this time of Jesus entering Jerusalem with palm branches. The Seleucid Empire had desecrated the temple. When the temple was cleaned and purified, they found only one day's worth of the sacred oil for the lamps. They lit the lamps. That one day's oil burned for 8 days. Enough time to make more sacred oil for the lamp. That is the origin of Hanukkah, with the Maccabees freeing Jerusalem. A great parade with praises and palms led the way as Judas Maccabees entered triumphantly in Jerusalem. Very possible this image had come to the crowd's minds as entered Jesus entered Jerusalem. What the voices today are saying, why participate in a reenactment which sets off the events of Holy Week and lead to Jesus' death? This is not something to be celebrated, they say, triumphantly. It wasn't triumphant entry. Listen to their words and read their writings. You find their thoughts are based on feelings. You know, it just doesn't feel right. Hence, don't celebrate. But they're missing the point of the moment. For truly, it is time to celebrate. It is time to celebrate. For righteous and having salvation is entering Jerusalem to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. That is, save us. In other words, in fully answer to that word, that cry, Hosanna, save us. He is saving us. Righteous is entering Jerusalem. Salvation, having salvation is entering Jerusalem. Wave those palms, celebrate, because it is a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It disturbed all the Jewish leaders and Roman leaders. An entry, if the people were quiet, God said, he would have the rocks sing out. Yeah, if they said, tell the people to be quiet, they shouldn't be saying that. Jesus says, well, the rocks will sing out. You know, you can find that in Luke chapter 19, starting at verse 39. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, that's Jesus, replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. It is a celebration going on as they enter in Jerusalem. If the rocks would join in the celebration, we will celebrate with the waving of palms and singing of hosannas, for righteous and having salvation is arriving in Jerusalem to save us from sin. Psalm 118, beginning of verse 19. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. Yes, this triumphal event did in a manner force the hands of the Sanhedrin, did set in motion the things that would bring Jesus to the cross to suffer and die, just as the will of God had intended. Remember that Mount of Transfiguration? What were they talking about, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus? About his departure that would happen in Jerusalem. In other words, his suffering death. So it's a fulfillment of God's word. This is intended to happen. Jesus foretold this on many occasions as he resolutely said to Jerusalem, I'm going there to suffer and die. And he always said, and rise on the third day. Prophesies, this is going to happen to Jesus. Isaiah chapter 53, beginning of verse 3. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid hold on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. As this is Passion Sunday too, I encourage you later this afternoon to read chapters 14 of the Gospel of Mark. It won't take very long, 15 minutes or so. Read chapter 14 and 15 of the Gospel of Mark, because in the middle of the reading, you'll find Jesus has come before now the Sanhedrin with false testimony statements against him. They're not agreeing. As Jesus remained silent before the high priest, just as Isaiah 53 said he would remain silent, the high priest gets flustered and he stands up as Jesus continues to remain silent. Remember, just as Isaiah foretold, then this direct question. Mark 14, beginning of verse 61. But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest asked, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? I am, said Jesus. and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. The high priest tore his clothes. Why do we need any more witnesses? He asked. You have heard the blasphemy? What do you think? They all condemned him as worthy of death. Death on the cross. It will bring about the shedding of blood. Taking the cup, Jesus said, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Fulfilling the images of Exodus 12, the Passover with the lamb and the blood on the doorpost and lintel. Also bringing to perfection, surpassing in all excellence, all the sacrifices that have been offered in worship to the Lord. It is written in Hebrews 9, verse 12, He, Christ, did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but He entered the most holy place once for all by His own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Down to verse 22, Hebrews 9. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Hebrews 9, verse 28. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him. Wave those palms, sing those hosannas, proclaim the King as righteous and having salvation, for in the cross the work was finished. Christ paid in full the redeeming price. Indeed, Christ Jesus truly is righteous and having salvation. Amen. And amen.